Well, hey, it is so good to have you all with us here today, both in the room and online, as we continue our series called Miracle Worker. And I want to start today by asking you a question. What would it be like to be stuck in the same day, day after day after day? Could you imagine being stuck in a time loop where every single day is literally the exact same day over and over and over again? Well, this is essentially the plot of a movie from the early 90s called Groundhog Day. Anyone remember Groundhog Day? Yeah, it's a fun one. It stars Bill Murray, and he is a reporter named Phil, who's reporting on the, you know, Punxsutawney Phil Groundhog Day Festival. So Phil's reporting on Phil, and he's super sarcastic. He kind of hates his job, and then what happens is the next day he wakes up and he realizes that he is literally stuck in Groundhog Day. Over and over and over again, to the point that he literally knows exactly when everything's going to happen to the second. He tries to do all this stuff to manipulate the story. He literally robs a bank truck at one point and doesn't do anything. It doesn't change anything. The next day he wakes up, same thing over and over and over again. And he realizes that he's powerless to change the situation until he's ready to learn the lesson that he's supposed to learn. That's very much like the Greek myth of Sisyphus. And it's a crazy movie. And fun fact, the movie was actually filmed in Woodstock, Illinois. And for a while, my family lived just about 20 minutes away from there. So you can actually go there and walk around and be like, oh, that's where he stepped in the puddle. And that's where, you know, so it's fun to go there and see it. But so could you imagine that? Being stuck in the same day over and over and over again. Well, in the scripture that we're going to read today, it's going to be in John chapter 5. So we'll turn there in a little while, but if you want to get your Bibles ready, we're going to be in John chapter 5. In the story that we look at, we're going to meet a man who faces a similar situation. He's stuck in a kind of a time loop. Every day he kind of faces the same challenges. He has the same struggles. He kind of has the same things happen every single day. And then he meets Jesus, and he finds hope to become unstuck from his situation. See, we're in our third week of a series that we're calling Miracle Workers. It's a series where we're looking through the Gospel of John, and we're finding seven miracles that Jesus performs in this gospel that help us do a couple of things. One is it does give us hope for how the kingdom of God can break through in our lives here and now, how the power of Christ can break through. But it also is a sign of things to come. It gives us a glimpse into the future kingdom of God, the new heavens and the new earth, and how things will be there. Because see, in the new heavens and the new earth, in the kingdom of God, what we call a miracle, what we call extraordinary, is actually ordinary. And the lives we're living now, this is the unordinary stuff. This is actually the weird thing. Someday that's all that we'll know, is the miracles and the goodness of God. And so with that in mind, let's jump in today in John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. Some translations might say Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool, after each such disturbance, would be cured of whatever disease they had. Now, some of your Bibles might not include verse 4. Some manuscripts don't include it. But let's just stop there for a moment and just grab a little bit of context here. First of all, let's be reminded of where we are in this story, because John points it out, so it's important. We're in Jerusalem. Jesus is there for a festival. And we're by a place called the Sheep Gate. It's called that because it's where they bring them in so that they can be prepared for sacrifice. And it says that we're by a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. Sounds like a nice place, huh? I bet, you know, I'm already dreaming about the summer. I'm thinking about when I get to lie by that pool and there's people jumping off the diving board, a self-absorbed lifeguard sitting up in a chair. That is not what this pool was like. I mean, it was a nice pool, but the scene was actually pretty grisly, pretty dark. I want you to kind of get a picture of what this would look like. So here's a painting by Pedro Orante. And if you see this, I mean, this kind of looks like a hospital emergency waiting room that's short-staffed. People are lying all around. People are in agony and pain. These people are not happy. They've been in pain. They're here to try to get better. And the fact is that even the fact that they were left by the sheep gate tells us that they're kind of forgotten about in society. That society kind of looks at them as no better than sheep who are getting ready for the slaughter. So this is a pretty actually dark and grim scene that Jesus walks into in this moment. Scene filled with pain and agony. With that in mind, I want us to continue the story in verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And then while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. So that's the miracle we're looking at this week. Pretty incredible. This man has been in pain and agony for 38 years, and in an instant, he can get up and walk. I mean, he had no idea how his life was going to change that day. But his life was completely different after this. The change that happens. I mean, it's this moment where you see the goodness and the power of God meeting someone's pain and their brokenness. It's a beautiful moment. And it does give us a glimpse in the age to come that someday we'll actually have a new body that will have no ailments, that we will never be in pain again in the age to come. And so it's this beautiful, beautiful moment, an incredible miracle. But every time I read this, there is a part in this story that I cannot get over. And maybe you noticed it too. Remember, this man has been like this for how long? 38 years. It's longer than I've been alive, okay? And he is in pain and agony. He is suffering. And here is the question that Jesus begins their conversation with. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get... What kind of question is that? Are you kidding me, Jesus? This guy's been like this for 38 years. He's by the pool of Bethesda. He's trying to army crawl his way into this thing to get better. And the question you ask him is, do you want to get... That would be like walking up to somebody who is starving to death, who hasn't eaten in, I don't know, like days, weeks. And the question is like, hey, buddy, you look hungry. Do you want a nibble? You want a little snack or something? Well, of course that's what Jesus is looking at this guy, just lying there in agony. And he's like, hey, would you like to get better? It just seems so obtuse. It seems so uncaring of Jesus to open up the conversation with that question. But maybe there's more going on here. Maybe Jesus knows more about this man than we know. Maybe Jesus understands something about this guy that he wants to help the guy see something. Maybe Jesus is trying to show us something about human nature. Maybe he's trying to show each and every one of us something about ourselves. See, I want you to listen again to how the man replies. So in verse 7, here's what it says. Sir, so this is how the man replies to Jesus. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Well, I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So he says to Jesus, the reason I'm not better, the reason I'm like this, is because I've got no one, Jesus. I don't have anyone to help me. He's saying to him, the reason I'm like this is because I am completely and utterly alone. I don't have anybody. So to this man, this is his only reality. He's been injured, he's all by himself, and he has nobody to help him into the pool, and when he tries to get in, other people beat him there. So he has no imagination for anything different. This is the script that he lives every single day. Now, some experts would call this kind of a mindset rumination. And it's this idea, it's like this negative self-talk that goes through your mind. Or some people call it the broken record. It's like this thing that just keeps on playing through your mind. Whenever something happens, whenever a situation comes up, it's the broken record that you put on. It's the negative thoughts that go through your mind. And some experts actually tell us, this is crazy, that sometimes 65 to 90% of our thoughts can be taken up on a daily basis by rumination, by negative thinking, by literally thinking the same negative thoughts over and over and over again, sometimes for days, sometimes for weeks, sometimes years, or even decades. 65 to 90% of our lives, our thoughts can be taken up by this negative rumination, this broken record. And for this guy, this was his broken record. I mean, Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? And he doesn't say, yeah, of course I do. What? His answer is he just puts on the broken record. Well, sir, I don't have anybody to help me. And when I try to get in, someone else beats me. There's always somebody else beating me. So this is his broken record. This is the thing he keeps playing over and over and over again. He's stuck in his pain. He's stuck in his brokenness. He's living in a loop, a lot like Groundhog Day. And he can't seem to get himself out of it. He doesn't seem to have the power to get unstuck. And so Jesus seems to be challenging this mindset in this man. Because he asks the question, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now, I think most people would say that they want to get well. But sometimes, like this man, we feel stuck. Now, there can be a lot of reasons why we feel stuck in life at times. Sometimes we feel stuck because change would actually be really scary. That to do something different actually just feels so scary and so imposing and so different that we're not sure that we want to do it. I mean, think about it. How many of us have stayed in a job that is just sucking our soul? Because to try to go out and look for another job just feels like, I don't know, that might be too scary. What'll happen if someone finds out? And so we'll just stay. Or how many of you have stayed in a toxic relationship because the fear of being alone feels greater than the fear of staying in this relationship? Or just the fear of confronting the issues just seems so big that you're just like, I don't know. I'll just try to hopefully figure it out. Or how many of us have gotten excited about something new that we want to do, some new experience, and then we avoid it because once we get to the precipice of what that thing is, the risk just feels too big. Now, we usually don't use the word scary. We just say something like, well, I don't know if in this season of life that's going to work for me. Or, we have some things that we might say instead, but really, we're kind of scared. Sometimes we stay stuck because changing actually comes with criticism. If you were to go on reading chapter 5 in the Gospel of John, which I hope you're reading through it, you'll find out that this guy, the first group of people he runs into once he's carrying his mat and walking through is the religious leaders. And you would think they would see him and go, buddy, last time I saw you, you were laying on the floor like in agony and now you're walking around. Praise the Lord. How good is our God? No, that's not what they say. They say, how dare you carry your mat on the Sabbath? How dare you? Like, they're so angry with him that they're not excited that God healed him. They're mad that he is challenging the status quo. How many of you, when you've tried to stop drinking, your drinking buddies get angry at you? Or they say, we like you better when you were kind of buzzed all the time. Or how many of you have been made fun of because you try to change your eating habits? Because you're like, man, I've got a history of heart, like whatever it is, and you're just like, I don't want to go down that path, and yet people will make fun of you. Or how many of you have ever had somebody get mad at you, somebody get angry at you because you finally place some healthy boundaries in a relationship, and they just get so mad at you for doing that. Sometimes we stay stuck because we don't want to deal with the criticism. Sometimes we stay stuck because we actually don't want to change anymore. Like sometimes we actually get into the change and we get to a certain point and we go, whoa, 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 whoa. This is way too much. This is way harder than I thought it was going to be. And so we move back into the same old rut we were in. Because sometimes it's easier. We can actually get used to the pain. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten used to the pain in your life? And you go to like a chiropractor or a physical therapist or a surgeon, and then they relieve that pain. And then you're just like, I cannot believe the amount of pain that I've been walking around with, and I just got used to it. Because sometimes actually living in the agony is easier than healing. Because as crazy as it sounds, we can often find a strange comfort in our pain. And we can actually get to the place where we identify with the pain. It becomes a part of who we are. It becomes a part of our story. There's a lot of reasons we can stay stuck. You know, in the summer of 2022, so just a few months ago, I noticed something odd in my own life. There were days where I just didn't want to do anything. It was just kind of weird. I just would be like, I just don't want to do anything. And then near the end of the summer, my wife and I, we took a trip that we had been talking about taking since we got married in 2009. And so we were just excited and jazzed, and we go on this trip. And so it was like a longing fulfilled. So you would think I would come home just over the moon. And yet I came home and I fell into a slump. And it was just like things weren't exciting anymore. And I was feeling drained all the time. And so I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm sick or something. Like maybe I picked up something when I was on my trip. I don't know. So I did what everybody does. I didn't call a doctor. No, I went to Google and I typed in my symptoms, because that always works, you know. And Dr. Google told me that I might be depressed. And I thought, well, that's weird. And it's not that I haven't walked through depression before. I have. But in those times, I was able to sit with a counselor, sit with a pastor, and be able to see what it's connected to. I'm like, oh yeah, obviously this depression is connected to this thing. And I was able to learn tools to help me walk through that. Well, in the summer of 2022, I could not figure out for the life of me what this was connected to. There was nothing that made sense to me. And all the tools that I had learned before to be able to walk out of this weren't working. I felt stuck in a loop, and I just couldn't get myself out of it. And so finally, I sat down with the therapist, and I said, look, we got to talk through this. And I'm like, so do I need to be on a medication? Like, he's like, well, calm down. I'm like, let's just keep talking. And we get to the end of the session, and he's kind of like, okay, all right, I think I see what's going on here. I'm like, oh, you do? Okay. And he just goes, I'm almost positive that your depression is linked to unresolved grief. I was like, oh, okay. I'll tell you, 100% honest, in my mind, I'm going, this guy's got no idea what he's talking about. He tells that to 22 people a week. He's just like, oh, it's unresolved grief. And they're like, oh, okay. And I was like, he just tells that to everybody. All right, whatever, man. And I was like, I didn't even know if I was going to come back for a second session. I'm like, okay. But then a few days later, I was praying. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just gently whispered to me, hey, Ben, he's right, you know. You are grieving. I was like, grieving what? I'm like, yeah, I've lost my mom, lost 3 grandparents, lost my sister-in-law. In 2021, I lost a really close friend. I'm like, but I feel like I went through the process. I gave myself space to grief. I feel like I did that. I grieved well in those moments. I'm like, so what in the world could I still be grieving? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, Ben, you're grieving for yourself. You're grieving your childhood. You're grieving all the unmet longings you had as a kid, those things that were never met. So over the past few months, the Holy Spirit has been reminding me of the neglect that I received as a kid. He's been reminding me of the amount of responsibility I had to take on at a young age, and how I had to figure out a lot of things on my own. Because see, the broken record that plays in my mind when things get difficult, when things don't go the way I was hoping they would go, when I get challenged or attacked, the record that plays in my mind is, well, Ben, you're on your own. You got to figure this out. No one's going to help you. And I'd love to tell you, oh, that never goes through my mind anymore, all the time. All the time it goes through my mind. I wish it didn't. Because when I was growing up, that is what I was taught. So not too different than the guy in the story. And so that is what I have been challenged with. And so not only do I have this pain and this brokenness, these undealt with issues that I sort of just pushed off to the side at some point. Not only that, but I also have a very hard time asking people for help. Anybody relate? And so the last thing I want to do is ask someone for help because one, they might not want to help me, or they're going to make me feel like a fool, like you should already know how to do this, or they will help me and then I'm just going to feel like a burden. At some point I'm going to be like, well, that's way too much, man. Like, okay, never mind. I'll do it. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have said out loud, I'm going to have to figure this out. Because I just assume that that's what is true. And I'll tell you what, the past few months have not been easy for me. I've had days where I can't stop crying because I realize the pain that's still in my heart from when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, that I'm still just a little kid wondering why his dad lives in a different city and never comes to visit. Like, I didn't really know him until I was 10 years old. I'm still just that little kid just pretending like everything is normal, but realizing it's not normal to have a parent who's always at the end of a bottle, always passed out. I'm just that little kid who feels like he's got to figure out everything out on his own. And so I've been realizing that over these last few months. I've had to forgive where I thought I'd already forgiven. I've had to deal with pain that I thought was already dealt with. I've had to deal with some of my coping mechanisms that have just become my lifestyle. I've had to deal with the places in my life where I've just been in survival mode and just never came out. And I've had to deal with dysfunctions that are so deeply rooted that they're almost undetectable to me. They've just become so much a part of who I am. To be honest, it would be a lot easier to not be dealing with all of this right now. I got enough going on. And so I would not have picked this season. I don't know when is a good time to deal with depression and unresolved grief and all, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know when a good time is, but I want to pick now. I don't know when I would have picked, but it wouldn't have been now. I would have just stayed stuck in the loop. What I would have done actually is I just would have gone back to my map. I would have just said, you know what? I'm just gonna stay here. Because I know this. This is what I know. As odd as it sounds, as dysfunctional as this is, I know how to function here. I get this. I know how to operate here. This, weirdly enough, feels comfortable to me, and so I'm just gonna stay here. Maybe someday I'll deal with all of this, but not right now. But Jesus wasn't okay with that. He's been confronting my brokenness. You know why? Because he cares about me too much to leave me stuck. Amen. He cares about us too much to leave us stuck. And so what he's been telling me is, Ben, I need you to get up. I need you to pick up your mat, and I need you to walk. So what about you? Where are you stuck right now? Where have you gotten too comfortable with the pain? Where have you gotten just too used to the dysfunction? Too used to the problem? Too used to the thing? Like, where have you been resisting change? The Holy Spirit, and you know it. You know that he's trying to get you to change somewhere, but you're just resisting it because you're like, I just don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Where are you stuck right now? Is it in your health? Is it your finances? Is it your relationships? Is it your relationship with God? Maybe it's your mental or emotional health. Where have you gotten too used to the dysfunction and the brokenness, and it's just hard to get unstuck? The good news is, though, that Jesus is looking at each of us and he's saying, do you want to get well? And see, there's something that we need to understand about when Jesus asked that question. Because in the Greek, the word he's using here is very specific. In the Greek, the word for well that Jesus uses is the word hugies. It kind of looks like Huggies, but it's healed, sound, well, whole, complete. That's what this word means. It's a big concept, but even bigger than that, it finds its roots in a different Greek word. And that Greek word is oxano, which means to grow or to mature. Now, I know you weren't expecting a mini Greek language lesson here at church today, but stick with me for a moment, because if we get this, we are going to understand something huge about what Jesus was actually inviting this man into. Because see, oxano, it's a progressive action verb. That means it's something that you're supposed to keep on doing. So here's what Jesus was asking the man. He wasn't asking him, hey, buddy, do you want to get better today? Do you want to get healed this one time so that you don't have to be in pain anymore? That's not what he was asking him. He was saying, hey, do you want to live a different life? Do you want to change the way you're living? Do you want to live a life where every single day you are going to be challenged and invited to be better and better, to be more whole, to be more complete, to have a more full life? Do you want that kind of life? Or do you just want to stay stuck on the mat? What do you want? Do you want a life of repentance and change and difference, or do you just want to stay stuck in the dysfunction? See, Jesus has a vision for your life, and it's to be his disciple. And to be a disciple doesn't just mean someone who believes in Jesus. That's part of it. But at Christ the Rock, we say a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And so you see Jesus inviting this man into this. You see the being changed by Jesus component and what Jesus is inviting him into. And it's actually the key element of the lifestyle of discipleship, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to transform us, to heal us, to change us, to invite us into repentance, to invite us into sanctification, so we can continue to grow and to mature into the person that God has called us to be. This word oxano is actually the same word that Paul uses in his letter to the Corinth, or to the Ephesian church. So in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, from him, meaning Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. That's that word oxano right there. As each part does its work. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self, created to be like God. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is Paul saying here? As a disciple of Jesus, you are being invited to leave the old broken record behind. Chuck that thing into the past. You are being invited. So you put the old self behind you. You are being invited to take up your mat and walk, meaning you're going to start living a different life, new lifestyle, new habits, new thought patterns. But not only that, you're being taught to be constantly challenged, to grow and to change so that you can mature. For what reason? So that you can be like Christ. That's what he wants, that we would be like him both here in this life and for all of eternity. That's the invitation that Jesus gave to this man. And it's the invitation that he gives to each of us. Christ the Rock, we believe that there are stages of spiritual growth in the life of a disciple. So I'm going to bring up this graphic here. And as you can see in this graphic, you have someone who's spiritually dead. That means they do not know Christ. I was there at one point, and I didn't know Jesus, and I needed to be born again, so somebody proclaimed the gospel to me. They shared the truth with me, and then I became a spiritual infant. And that's not an insult. That's what the Bible says. You become a spiritual infant when you are born again. And you're drinking spiritual milk. You don't really know a lot, and that's okay. Because then at some point you begin to walk, you begin to start taking steps, and you become a spiritual child. And you're starting to grow in Christ, but the thing is usually children are pretty still self-centered. And then you become a spiritual young adult, where you become more others-focused, you become more Christ-centered. And then eventually you become a spiritual adult and really a spiritual parent. Because see, the goal isn't to just be a disciple of Jesus, but it's to be a disciple of Jesus who makes other disciples of Jesus. So this is God's vision for your life. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. And neither do I. Neither do the pastors here at Christ the Rock. Neither do the elders. We do not want you to stay stuck. We want you to embrace the vision that God has for your life. The sad part is that there are many people who stay stuck. Even after they become a Christ follower, they stay stuck in spiritual infancy or spiritual childhood. They don't graduate into becoming a spiritual young adult, and many don't graduate into becoming a spiritual parent. And I want you, as one of your pastors, I want to challenge and invite you into living a lifestyle that is difficult, that can be scary, that can be challenging, that can come with criticism. But oh, is there so much fruit? Oh, is it so much better than trying to be like this world? To be like Christ, to mature into the person that he's called you to be. Because here's the thing, you have friends who need you to become the person that God has created you to be. You have family who needs you to become the person that God is calling you to be. And I believe that there are people out there who have no hope, who don't know Jesus. I don't even know how they make it. They don't know him. They don't have the good news. They haven't heard the gospel. And I believe that as you heal, as you begin to walk in a different direction, that God's going to send you to them. And you are going to be able to tell them how you used to live with that old broken record playing in your mind, how you used to be living just stuck down on the map, but then how someone named Jesus came along and how he spoke to you and he set you free. You'll be able to share that with somebody else. Somebody who needs to hear it. He will use your story to bring hope to them. And that's what I believe he can do in each and every one of us. But it all begins with the question, do you want to get well? Do you? Do you want that? And some of you maybe feel like it's too late for you. But here's the thing. This guy was like this for 38 years. If you are still breathing, it is not too late for you to listen to the voice of Jesus and to start walking into the healing that he's inviting you into. It can be hard though. So no matter where you're at today, you can take a small step. Maybe for some of us, that small step is the most important step of all. Maybe some of you say, I don't actually even really know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I've ever been able to get across that chasm. I don't know what it means to have faith in Christ. And if that's you today, I just want to encourage you. The Bible makes it very clear that if we want to spend eternity with him for all of eternity, we want to trust him with that. That if we want to know where we're going when we die, all we have to do is confess with our mouth, believe with our heart that he is Lord, that he's been raised from the dead, that he died for our sins, and so we repent of our old life. We say, I'm going to leave it behind, and I'm going to start to walk in your ways, Jesus. That we recognize that he's the king, that he actually has the right to have authority over our lives, and then we just trust him with all of our days, both the rest of our days in this life and into eternity. So if you have not made that commitment to the Lord, if you've not given your life to him, today's the day. Don't wait. Just pray that prayer. Tell him that you want to put your faith in him. But for some of us, that next small step for us might be to address the old broken record that's been playing in our mind over and over and over again. And we got to start replacing it with this, God's word. We need to know God's truths and have those going through our minds to only think these thoughts. Maybe for some of you today, that step is just acknowledging that you need help, being willing to say, I'm stuck. And maybe it's joining a discipleship group, joining something like Celebrate Recovery here at the church, taking a step where you can say, I need to be in a community of people that can help me be challenged, can help me be invited to grow. Whatever your next step is, don't wait. Don't stay stuck. Allow the loving voice of the Savior to lead you into what is good, to lead you into a different life, into healing, into growth and maturity, so that we can all become more and more like Him into eternity. May we listen to the voice of our Savior calling out to us today. Now I want to end our time together doing something a little bit different. I've done this a few times with all of us, but I want to speak a benediction over you from God's word today. And this scripture I'm going to read actually has the word oxano in it. It's built on this idea of this growth and this change that we're being invited into. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to just stand to your feet if you're able. If you're able to just stand to your feet. If you're not, I'm going to invite you to do another thing as well, because this is going to come straight from God's word. So I want you to be willing to receive the promise and the blessing that God has for you today. And so if you're willing, that you would just put your hands out like this as a symbol of receiving. And I'm going to read this benediction over us three times to just allow the Holy Spirit to really let it sink in. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Jesus, we do give you the glory. I pray these things to be true in our lives, that no matter what mat we're stuck on in our lives, that we would trust you to be the one who meets us in our brokenness and speaks a kind, yet sometimes difficult word to pick up our mat and walk. Do we want to get well? Lord, may we accept the invitation into the life that you're inviting us into, a life where we can grow and change and mature into the person that you've called us to be, and we don't have to stay stuck in the same old things that we've always been dealing with. Lord, give us hope for change. Give us hope for something different. And may we hear your voice calling out to each and every one of us to just come and follow you. We thank you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.